Time to talk turkey. What wines are you serving for Thanksgiving? In this episode, you'll get insider tips on best bottles for the bird. This is the Inside Wine Podcast. I'm Joe Janisch, a wine industry professional since 1996, giving you insider tips to make the right wine decisions. Hopefully you're hearing this before Thanksgiving and you actually celebrate the holiday. I'm assuming you celebrate Thanksgiving in the traditional American way, which is to say a turkey is the centerpiece of the meal, surrounded by all those yummy trimmings. And with that, I'm also assuming you're not a vegan. If either of these assumptions are wrong, you'll still get some good tips on how to match wine and food. Move on to something else. With all that out of the way, let's dive in. If you're one of the lucky people who will be going to someone else's house for Thanksgiving, you may want to skip ahead about 5 minutes, because first we're going to cover the amount of wine you're going to need as the host. And as the host, Thanksgiving may very well be the biggest day of the year for you in terms of entertaining. It's the day you pull those folding chairs out of the garage and maybe even a few patio chairs from the backyard to make sure everyone has a seat. The challenge is keeping everyone happy with the selection of libations, and the absolute easiest and cheapest way to choose Thanksgiving wines is put the task on your guests. Everyone always asks you, "Hey, what can I bring?" Your answer could be, 2 bottles of wine. But you'll also want to give them some direction, otherwise you may wind up with like 25 bottles of California Chardonnay. So what you do is tell them to bring 1 bottle of their favorite wine and 1 bottle of a specific wine you ask for based on what you hear today. So maybe you ask a few of your guests to bring a bottle of Zinfandel and others a bottle of Beaujolais. Oh shoot, should I have told you there was a spoiler alert? We will be mentioning both those red wines. Now, if you're like me and you're planning to provide all the wine, you need to do a little math. First, write down all of the people coming to the meal. Circle all the people who will likely want to drink at least 1 glass of wine. And most likely, most people will want to have at least 1 glass of wine, even the beer guys who are staring at football on the flat screen. Oh, they'll appreciate that cooler of craft beers out on the patio, but trust me, they'll also indulge in at least 1 glass because they're curious. And that 1 glass of wine is almost always filled close to the rim, and it's usually 2 glasses filled close to the rim. And it's usually the most expensive wine on the table. You have that friend or relative too, right? You know what I'm talking about. In any case, count up all your wine drinking guests and figure on about 2 to 3 glasses per person. If you have people who are sleeping over, and or you have friends like I do, figure on at least 1 bottle per person. Which may sound like a lot, but it's a long day. And although this could be too much wine, as the host, I'd prefer to have a little too much than not enough. I mean, think about it. You're going to have leftover turkey, leftover stuffing, leftover cranberry sauce, leftover what else? So plan for a little more wine as well. Of course, you don't have to have all the bottles out on the table. Just have a decent amount accessible. And stash the rest in your garage, in the basement, or somewhere else out of sight. And then when you need a bottle or two, just go and get it and bring it in. Otherwise, you may very well have a slosh fest, or a whole bunch of opened half-full bottles. So again, figure on about 2 to 3 glasses per person. You want to assume each 750-milliliter bottle provides 5 glasses, and a 750 ml is pretty much that basic, regular-size wine bottle. That's about 5 generous glasses of wine. So if you have 10 wine drinkers, times 3 glasses each, that's 30 glasses or 6 bottles. That may be a little too much math for you. These figures are in the show notes, so no need to jump off the exercise machine and write this down. Just check the notes at the end of the podcast. Okay, now that you have an idea of how much wine you'll need, let's talk about what wine you'll need. You have 2 main considerations. First, keeping all the people happy, and second, keeping all the food happy. To keep the general wine drinkers happy, and by that I mean the people who drink wine as a cocktail rather than as a food, you must have at least 1 bottle of California Chardonnay to wet their whistle, because Chardonnay is a really popular wine, and it seems like there's always one person in the crowd who wants their California Chardonnay. It's more or less a crowd pleaser for most Americans. And next, you should have at least 1 bottle or 2 of sparkling wine, because after all, Thanksgiving is a holiday. Holidays are celebrations, and celebrations beg for bubbles. And they're perfect for prepping the palate for the feast to come. Not to mention that dramatic of the cork is the official signal that the party has begun. It's kind of like the umpire yelling play ball to start a baseball game, or the opening bell going off when the stock market opens. When you hear that pop, you just know that the party has started. If you have the budget, I highly recommend champagne, as in the real stuff from France. Mainly because it's awesome, and it tells your guests you're not messing around in terms of having an enjoyable day. Champagne has the complexity and structure to continue drinking with just about anything, and maybe most importantly, how many excuses during the year do you have to drink champagne? A holiday with family and friends is the perfect time to feel no guilt about treating yourself. So there are many excellent choices of champagne. Best bang for your buck? Here's your secret insider tip. Get a non-vintage. It'll say NV on the label, or just non-vintage. There will be no year on the label. That's generally going to run you somewhere between $30 and $50, and this is going to be the house style of the champagne. It's going to be delicious and just a great deal. Now, if you have the ducats, go for a vintage or even a reserve. Generally, I recommend the Brut style of any of these champagnes because it's dry enough to match with food, but still pretty palatable on its own. As for specific brands, check the show notes. I have a lot of recommendations for champagnes and all the wines that we talk about today. Now, if you want to keep things American because, hey, Thanksgiving is an American holiday, go with a sparkling wine from California. California makes some outstanding sparkling wines, and they do tend to be a little more affordable than those fancy champagnes from France. Now, on the other hand, if you have a champagne taste but a craft beer budget, you may want to consider a cava from Spain, which is fully sparkling, or a prosecco, which is almost fully sparkling, and it'll still give you that pop you need to get the party started. Again, we'll start with bubbles, and if you want, just continue with bubbles the rest of the day. The sparklers that I recommend are extremely flexible and accommodating when it comes to food pairing. Champagne and other sparkling wines go with just about anything you'll put on the table, and you could theoretically offer several sparklers, including red ones like Lambrusco. That's another one of our insider tips, by the way. Lambrusco is tremendously food-friendly, and it comes from the stomach of Italy, so it has to be really good with food. And like champagne and other sparkling wines, it's offered in a lot of different styles, from bone dry to sweet. Now, let's just assume you also want to offer still wines throughout the meal. You'll want to have a nice range of whites, reds, and rosés. And you want these to play nicely both with the bird and with the vast assortment of sides. Now, one of my favorite food-friendly wines of all time is Riesling, which may surprise you. Ah, there we go, another insider tip. Riesling is actually really good food-friendly wine. Like sparkling wines and many other wines, Rieslings can come in a dry version, like bone dry, medium dry on the sweeter side, or really sweet, like dessert wine sweet. Now, I recommend you go with one of the drier or medium dry versions because it'll be both a really great match for the turkey as well as all the trimmings. Riesling tends to have a nice line of acidity that tends up to acidic foods, such as cranberry sauce, and cuts through those fatty ones like the creamed onions, the cheese-smothered sides, you know what I'm talking about. And Riesling has a unique flavor profile that goes really well with the gaminess of the bird, as well as the savory herbs that are in your stuffing. Now, the very best Rieslings come from the Alsace region of France. They come from Germany and also Washington State, which is great if, again, you want to stay with that all-American theme, being that it is, again, American holiday. Now, another white you'll want to consider is Chardonnay. But more specifically, I would go with either a lightly oaked or an unoaked Chardonnay, because less oak usually means a more food-friendly wine. And those food-friendly Chardonnays tend to come from France, and more specific regions are Chablis, Mâcon-Vallage, Pouilly-Foussay, Burgundy in general. There are some nice Burgundies that aren't over-oaked. And again, I have some suggestions in the show notes. Now, another white wine that'll play well with most of what's on the table, and particularly the vegetable dishes, is Sauvignon Blanc. And those are really easy to find. I recommend you go with a Sauvignon Blanc from either France, again, or New Zealand. These tend to be, you know, the better food-friendly wines. New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs tend to be a little more fruit-forward, and the ones from France can tend to be a little more on the green side, a little more vegetal, or even grassy. And grassy may sound a little off-putting, but actually it's a nice thing for food matching. So maybe we go with vegetal as the descriptor, because it does actually go well with vegetables, literally green foods. Now I have another insider tip. White wines from Italy, just about all of them, go really, really well with food. Now, surely you're familiar with Pinot Grigio. It's the ultimate easy-drinking, food-friendly white wine. It is best from Italy, and specifically from the northern areas, such as the Friuli region. And there are also some nice examples from the Veneto. Another version of Pinot Grigio is called Pinot Gris, and that'll be from the Alsace again, or Oregon. And these are also really good wines for Thanksgiving. Pinot Gris is the same grape as Pinot Grigio, but because of the places of where it's grown, it takes on different characteristics, flavors, and style. Those Pinot Gris from Oregon and Alsace, they tend to have a little more weight in the mouth. The texture could be a little oily, but oily in a good way. It sounds bad, but it's actually pretty good. And the Pinot Gris tend to have a fuller fruit and be a little fatter, which means that they have a little lower acidity, which means it can go well with leaner dishes such as the turkey breast. So let me just go back to Italy for a moment. Again, insider tip, even if you've never heard of a particular white wine you see on the shelf from Italy, chances are it's going to be a food-friendly match, and it's probably going to work with just about anything you put on the holiday table. Italian white wines, as a rule, tend to be clean, bright, have a really good level of acidity that makes them good for food pairing, and they tend not to be over-oaked and tend not to have flavors that will overpower food. And they also tend to be a little lower in alcohol, which is nice because then you can have a second or third or fourth glass and not have it go to your head. So a really quick list of Italian whites that can work for the Thanksgiving feast in general. Suave, Orvieto, Gavi, Vermentino, Arnais, Greco di Tufo, Falanghina. I'll have even more specific wines in the show notes. So let's get on to the red wines. Now, the ultimate red wine for Thanksgiving, in my opinion, is Zinfandel, mainly because it's one of the few truly American grape varieties. And again, Thanksgiving is an American holiday, so why not celebrate with an American grape? If you're one of those really educated wine geeks, you may be thinking, hey, Joe, that's not true. Zinfandel is actually another name for Primitivo, which may or may not be right. But for as long as California wine history goes back, there's been Zinfandel. And it does much better in California than Primitivo does in Italy. So I would argue that even if Zinfandel is not really a native American grape, it certainly is an adopted one. And after all, the U.S. is made up of people adopted from other countries. So, hey, why not? Let's do it. And yes, there are other grapes that could claim to be truly American, but most of those are made into wines that are kind of difficult to find outside of their locale. If you have some recommendations that are local to you, please send me an email or leave a voicemail with your favorites. Zinfandel tends to be pretty easy to find all over the United States at retail, and it comes in different styles and in a wide range of price points, so that's another reason I really like it. And the other thing I like about Zinfandel, specifically for Thanksgiving, is that most examples have a flavor profile and a structure that work really well with the turkey, as well as most of the trimmings. The acidity level tends to be mild to medium. The tannins tend to be similarly mild to medium. Flavors of cherries and wild berries. So with turkey being a leaner white meat, you want to match it with a wine that is like Zinfandel in that it's lower in tannin and acidity than something like a Cabernet or a Syrah, which tend to be a little heavier in the tannins and a little bigger in the acidity and may overwhelm the flavor of the turkey. So my number one suggestion for Thanksgiving for red is Zinfandel. And most of my other suggestions are wines that are similar to Zinfandel, such as Pinot Noir. And there are really nice Pinot Noir from California as well as Oregon if you want to stick with something American. And if you're okay with bringing in something from overseas, well, the very best bottles to me come from Burgundy in France. Now, Burgundy is an animal unto its own, and we'll cover it in a future episode. But just generally speaking, all red wines from Burgundy, France, are Pinot Noir. A wine called Hardy Burgundy is not what we're talking about and not from France, but you knew that. I just wanted to let you know that I knew it too. The really good Burgundies are generally on the higher end of the price spectrum. So if you have the budget, please go out and do it. I mean, they're really special, awesome wines, and they're worth every penny, especially if you're a fan of the region. Now, if you're just getting into Burgundy and you don't necessarily have the budget to go into that upper end of the Premier Cruz or Grand Cruz, there are definitely some introductory bottles you can start with, particularly from my employer. We bring in something called Louis Jadot, which has some really wonderful introductory Bourgogne Pinot Noirs that are right around $20 and maybe a little less. Check the show notes for more specific recommendations. My next recommendation for red for Thanksgiving is just from the south of Burgundy. The wine is called Beaujolais, and it's probably my favorite non-American red for Thanksgiving. And no, I said non-American rather than un-American, because I wouldn't want you to think that Beaujolais was put on a blacklist by J. Edgar Hoover. But Beaujolais, like Burgundy, like Napa or Chianti, is a specific place where wine is made, and there are different styles of it, and they're all made in Beaujolais, which is a region of France. You probably have heard of Beaujolais Nouveau, which is given a lot of media attention right around Thanksgiving time because it's released the week before Thanksgiving, and there's a lot of hoopla around that. But that's not the one that you want to necessarily have for Thanksgiving. It's a wine from this year's harvest, so it really hasn't had time to develop and age. And so it tends to be a little simple in style and have kind of like a more like a grape juice flavor than a wine flavor. And, you know, a lot of people actually like that, and that's fine. You know, you may want to just pick up one bottle for fun. But generally speaking, I would recommend that you get Beaujolais AC, Beaujolais Village, Beaujolais Cru, such as Moulin Avant, Fleury, Cherubla, these types of Beaujolais. Again, I'll have more information in the show notes, but generally these are Beaujolais that will have vintages from last year or maybe 2 years ago. And these wines are fresh and fruity. They have a good balance of acidity. They have low tannins. They're low in alcohol. Some examples are about as close to rosé as you're going to get without actually being rosé, while there are other versions that are really quite deep and more complex. So Beaujolais tends to be a really nice selection for Thanksgiving. It goes with everything on the table, from the turkey to the cranberry sauce. And again, there's going to be a lot of attention around Beaujolais Nouveau around this time, Thanksgiving time. So when you go to your local wine shop and you ask for a recommendation of a Beaujolais, make sure you say Beaujolais AC, Beaujolais Village, or Beaujolais Cru. Otherwise, you may get directed to one of the Beaujolais Nouveau that are sitting in the front of the store. And maybe pick up one bottle, but that shouldn't be the one that you want. You should pick up one of the more complex versions. Just trust me on this one. Oh, insider tip. If you do get a Beaujolais, you want to put it in the fridge for about 15 to 20 minutes before you open it. It's a lighter style and it'll really benefit from a slight chill. So quick review. The very best reds for Thanksgiving: Zinfandel, Pinot Noir, Beaujolais, in that order. For the whites, we have Riesling, we have Chardonnay from France, such as white Burgundy, Sauvignon Blanc, or just about any white wine from Italy. Okay. Now, what about rosé? Well, it's an easy one. Yes, yes, and yes. Just like white wine from Italy, I would say just about any rosé from anywhere in the world is probably going to work well with the Thanksgiving feast. Insider tip, the top rosé wines are from Provence, France, as well as Tavel and Bandol. Those two, Tavel and Bandol, those are also from the south of France in the region of the Rhone Valley. And many insiders believe that these are the very best rosé wines in the world. So if you haven't had them, you know, take a look, pick them up. They'll say it right on the label. They'll say Tavel, T-A-V-E-L, and Bandol is another really good rosé, B-A-N-D-O-L. You may be able to find these in finer wine shops, but I mean, really, anything pink is going to work. So that's it for today. Did I miss something? Or would you like a suggestion for a specific dish you're preparing for Thanksgiving? Drop me a line, email or phone. Email me at joe@insidewinepodcast.com, or you can leave a voicemail at 917-727-9242. Both of these are in the show notes. Details on all the wines we talked about today are also in the show notes. Do me a favor, make sure you hit the subscribe button so you can get the next episode automatically. And in the meantime, remember, wine is food. It comes from a place. please enjoy it responsibly.